Thank you. get the trails cleaned.
Alright guys, we're ready. If you guys want to cozy up, find a chair, we're going to start in a couple minutes. Welcome to Hope Living Church. It's good to see everyone here, our family, our friends. Everyone who is here is a big deal to us, but even more to Jesus, and that's everything.
Amen.
We have something in common when we come together. We have God, and that makes all this worth it. So thank you guys for coming. What an honor to see everyone who has come today. And I wanted to just share something before we just jump right into worship. This morning I was preparing the worship set for today, and I was in a place, a funky place, trying to just overcome and trying to pull something together. I was trying to do something Jesus orientated, and was just kind of going, God, what, where's that perspective that I can stand in as I do this, so that it all makes sense. And I got convicted to get in the Word today, but I realized as I was getting into the Word that even more than my, specific circumstances this morning, as I'm just putting a simple worship set together, that today for the Kenny family is a really big day. It's a milestone in their lives. Some big things that Mike's going to talk about today in his message have happened, and as he shares, I know that we'll all be able to experience the opportunity of what that journey has been and what today represents. So he'll unfold that. And all that to say, what today is for them is an even greater challenge than even what I was facing. And I thought it was a great opportunity this morning, because I never speak. I just sing and lead worship. But I have a dream that this church would have a worship culture that would be so strong that we would almost be known for our worship and for the culture of worship that's established here. So I just wanted to focus on some things that I realized this morning were really important. And that is that no matter where we're at in our lives, no matter how hard it is, no matter how annoyed we are, how tricky things are, how frustrated we are, we can always come to church and we can always corporately worship in any place at all. And that's the beauty of our Father, is that no matter where we're at and how disturbed we are, how challenging things are, how great things are, we get to come in under Jesus' wings, and we get to point all of our focus to him in our worship, so that he would have the ability to adjust our attitudes. And I think that's the thing that I wanted to share, is that worship, when we worship here, that we have an opportunity to adjust our attitudes. Not come in being done, being good, being all set up and ready to go, but coming in knowing that we've got to encounter Him to find satisfaction in this journey. I want that understanding embedded in this church as a culture, that we're coming in here, and when we worship, we're trying to rise up. And the verse that I found that really stirred me was in Hebrews, and it says this: "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." In the beginning, that one line is all that you need to hear. "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom." And that's the other side to it. We come into worship so that we can get our attitudes adjusted, so that we can be closer to Him, but even more, because He's made a promise to us that we have access to heaven forever. And so He's worthy. And so those two facets are so important. On a day like this, we're going to be singing some songs that are really cliche for a day like this in some of our lives, you know. But I just wanted to make that clear, that we can sing these songs, not because of who we are, but because of who He is and because what He represents in our lives. We can sing on the worst day, "Oh, happy day." We can sing on the worst day, "I am blessed," because we have inherited a promise. And that promise is that inheritance of the kingdom of God that's coming to us. So we can, I wanted to just speak that out, because it's what I'm operating out of today. And I just want everyone to be able to know, no matter where you're at, you can jump right in. No one's going to judge you. Jump right in and just crave and chase after Jesus today, and He'll be right there for you. Let's all stand up and let's sing this song out to our God. Let's declare it over ourselves.
line that'll come up later. It's one of my favorites out of this newer version of the Word called The Voice. If you haven't checked it out, you can check it out online on BibleGateway.com, The Voice version. It's just a neat, kind of fresh language way of saying things. And it says this for Romans 12:5. We become together, we cannot be alone. And just us together here, gathered together in His name, we become something extra special. We become the body of Christ. And I just want to encourage you to enjoy the presence of God tonight, to enjoy the worship, and just to really give the Lord your very best, because that's kind of what it's all about. Whether we're one, whether we're two, whether we're 2,000, we can still give God our best, and we can just really relax in His presence and enjoy that, and know that we gave Him
to heal me.
For you are good, for you are good to Yo
your presence to be over your presence overcome. Thank you. in secret places. Lord, we just ask that you would fill us up, Lord. That everything we are, our mind, our bodies, our souls, our spirits, our homes, our families, our businesses, Lord, our ministries, we just begin to fill them up right now, Lord. We just begin to just pour out your spirit. We just call on you, Lord, as we cry out to you, Lord, to fill us up, Lord, that you would just begin to invade us, Jesus. To be beyond us, God, we just call on heaven right now to just fill this room. Yes, Lord. We're so grateful for you, Lord. We know the power of your spirit. We've seen it, but we haven't seen it all, Lord. So we just ask for more, Lord, a more precious spirit, a more deeper awareness, God, a more greater awareness. Heighten us, Lord. Amplify your presence, Jesus, in our lives. Lord, not just in this place, but in every place, Lord. For you, Jesus, to stir the hunger in us, God, for you. Begin to just stir that hunger in each person in this room for you, Lord, that we would just be all for you, and that we would just begin to fix our affections and our focuses on you, Lord. Grace has made a way, and that you've recognized your creation, that we have been called your creation, and that you have sent Jesus to die on the cross for us, that we would have access to you, Lord, that we can call on you and say, fill us up, Jesus, that we can just call on you and declare that your holiness reigns in our lives in every area, that we can approach you, Lord, in the worst place, that you would not condemn and cast us out, but you would accept us with open arms, God. And that we would never forget what is due to you and the honor that is due to you, Lord. That would never become about anything more than your kingdom and your ways amongst us, Lord. Drawing near to you and being your sons, your daughters, and your heirs, Lord. We need to establish new roots in us in 2014. Place, a new horizon amongst us that we would be able to look to and find hope in, a mandate that would just stir in us, each of us, Lord, and that you give us courage, Lord, courage to stand against the test of time, courage to stand against the earth's waves, life's waves that crash on us, Lord, that we would be like a rock, and that our hearts, our lives, our spirits would be built upon it. We just command our bodies, our spirits, and our minds to begin to worship you right now. And we just call on heaven. We'll sing that together. Lord, we wouldn't walk days the way we would yesterday. It would be a new day, every day. Lord, you are our source, and we just look to you, God. And we just ask you to begin to establish in us these things, these heart cries that we bring to your throne tonight. And thank you for just who you are in your presence. Lord, we want more of it. And we just continue to just seek you in everything, in this church. Begin to just establish a mighty worship amongst us. And, thank you, Lord, for your presence. All these things in Jesus' name, we agree.
Amen. Thanks, guys. Amazing. Awesome worship. I thought I'd go ahead and sit down tonight. I know we were working on some technical issues. This mic will be on shortly. Couple things real quick while we are just getting adjusted here. Welcome cards for visitors, I think. Did you get the welcome cards? Just We'd love to have your information, and there's some space on there. If you have any prayer requests, we'd certainly love to pray for you. And also just to let us know where we can get a hold of you, like an email address would be great. Tithe and offering envelopes we have also. Well, there's also the ability to take a debit card swipe if somebody would like to make an offering in that capacity. I do have to talk about tithes and offerings at some point. Today isn't that day. But just recognize that tithes and offering are an important way that we worship the Lord personally and that we prove God to be faithful. So I know we're all family here, so we can just talk about that. To do this does cost some money, and none of us are taking salaries or anything out of this church, so we're just, every penny that gets donated goes to putting this service together. So again, just thank you in advance for helping with that. We also have a special campaign. We're working on the trailer that we purchased and also some other future needs. A lot of this equipment that we're using is borrowed, and we do need to acquire our own. So again, thank you in advance for that. If you don't have a home church, we welcome you to plug in. If you have a home church, you can still plug in, because we're here on Sunday night, and most churches aren't gathering on Sunday night, so it's a great opportunity to join us and continue to be with us on our Sunday evening worship services. We're really visioning that God will let this service be a blessing to people of all churches, that they can come and have a nice, fun, exciting, warm place to worship the Lord on a Sunday evening, receive prayer as needed, to just gather with another part of the body of Christ. So we're excited what God's doing here. So we've been in a series, since we had our grand opening back mid-February, we've been in a series of messages that I've just called the Faith, Hope, and Love series. We were using 1 Corinthians 13:13 as our text for the key portion of Scripture, this saying the greatest is love. You know, these three things remain, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest is love. Well, we're talking about love, and so it's interesting how the Lord will weave things in your life and become part of the message. And our real story is that God is always at work weaving our stories into His story. The title of tonight's message is Love Walks in the Valley. We'll get to what that is really about. But the valley, speaking of the valley, is the valley of the shadow of death. As Daniel referred to, this is an anniversary for us. 15 years ago today, we lost our oldest daughter, Kimberly, in a car accident, which is kind of not the right way to put it. We didn't lose her. We know right exactly where she's at. She had a wonderful relationship with Jesus, and there's no question at all that she's in His presence. And for those that don't know, it was 15 years ago today, and it was just a few days after her birthday. We gather together every year and celebrate her birthday as well. So we were together Friday night as a family celebrating her birthday, and now we also remember a day that's not quite as happy to remember because of the pain and the place that takes you when you have to walk through that valley. One thing I will say that I'd love to, to have everybody know that it's our family and friends, people that have cared and loved on us, that has, been God's hands and feet to us all these years. Without that love and support, I don't know. I don't know how people who don't know the Lord and people who don't have a church family, I don't know how you can quite survive something like that. Anyway, I wanted to kind of go with this. Back up. We were cleaning the garage this week and came across a box that had a folder that had some of my sermon messages from back in that day. And it was interesting. It was very thought-provoking looking at some of the things that were on my heart and mind as I was speaking. Actually, I was an associate pastor with Pastor Neil in King City back in those days. And I was preaching, was it every third week or once a month? I have some notes more often, so it must have been sometimes maybe even more. But anyway, this particular Sunday was one week before our daughter's accident. And there was a thing, and I'm just going to read this. This is from my other notes. I just wanted to read this one part. Notes from that sermon that I spoke a week before my daughter was called into heaven. It was right on the heels of Columbine. Remember the Columbine massacre in Colorado? So everybody was grieving over that. And And as to today, I mean, I don't watch the news a whole lot, but I'm aware that there was another shooting yesterday, I think. And it just seems like every week there's another terrible tragedy. Anyway, that sermon was based that time on 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 3. I don't want to read that because that would be a whole other message, but I might do that because it's actually, I was reading through those notes going, dang, that was pretty good back then. I don't know what happened. But anyway, those are good notes. But here's a paragraph that just, I don't know, I just wanted to read this tonight because I think it fits with what God wants to talk about tonight. I said this, we all know that all isn't well. The real question is, what are we doing with what we know? The reality of the end time events may not catch people's attention, but our personal end time events happen every day. The Colorado incidents get people up in arms, but how about the illnesses, car accidents, shootings, earthquakes, etc., that can strike us just as quickly? And I just thought that was really, you know, out of sort of prophetic, out of my own mouth, is how prepared are we? The rest of the message goes on about the body of Christ being called to support one another through those events, those things that happen to us. And I just said how interesting that the Lord had us walking just, you know, a week after those words through, you know, the most difficult chapter in our life. But tonight, I wanted to talk about how the body of Christ is to love one another. And we're going to get into some scripture on that. There was a song for some people that are at least as old as me. Back in 1975, it was a Christian song by Barry McGuire. Does that ring a bell? Christian singer Barry McGuire. He was also a secular singer, but he became more of a Christian singer back then in the 70s. And he sang a song called I Walked a Mile. And it's just a powerful song. I'm going to ask Dan and Carrie W. to try taking it on. It's just a very powerful song. But the words are taken from a poem by Robert Browning Hamilton. And the words to the poem go like this. I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and never a word said she. But oh, the things... Oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. So I have now, my family and I have 15 years of walking that way, walking with sorrow. And, you know, it's not like we had a tragedy 15 years ago. Tragedy really stays, well, one, it stays with you. You learn to process it. You learn to work with the Lord and what he's showing you through that tragedy. The tragedy is still going to always be part of you. It's always part of what God used to shape you and mold you into the person that he is creating, has created you to be, but is in the process of creating you to be. So life is really not just like a tragedy. It's really a series, really, isn't it, of peaks and valleys, of some sorrowful moments that mark us and change our path. And then we have victories that do just the same thing. They mark us and shape us as well. And I think the Lord just, in his own wonderful, amazing way, causes everything, gee, that almost sounds like something out of the Bible, causes everything to work together for our good. Tragedies as well as the victories. The next slide, you know, either you are now, right now, as I speak, in a valley, in a valley circumstance in your life, in a low point, in a place of walking with sorrow, or you're called to walk with somebody that's going through one. That's what this church is about, is that some of this, in this room, if I asked you to raise hands, is anybody walking with sorrow, tragedy, pain, hurt in your life right now? Difficult circumstances? I'll bet you that at least half the room is. And the other half is probably sitting in a pretty good spot. And that's by God's design, so that we would carry each other, we love each other, be there for each other, and not just in words, but just in hands and feet of Jesus kind of stuff. You learn during tragedies that your faith is what is going to get you there, get you through it. Because, you know, the world has great examples on a daily basis of people who have pain in their life and aren't handling it so well. People that look to alcohol and drugs to carry them through those painful moments, or people that even through other things like even more socially acceptable things like throwing yourself into your work. You know, workaholicism, I think, is every bit as bad as alcoholism because it causes you to miss out on something that God has for you. I was just reflecting today, looking at my notes. I was looking through this box of notes, and I'm not saying this to, you know, cause any attention to myself, but at the point, that the day that my daughter passed away, I had a full-time job. I worked at then General Hospital, for those of you that have been around Slope County for a while. I worked at General Hospital full-time. I was working, and I was managing the x-ray department. I worked part-time doing ultrasound at French Hospital. I was on call on nights and weekends and stuff doing call work at French Hospital. I was also associate pastor at Pastor Neil in King City. So I was preaching every, you know, at least once a month. And on top of that, I was also teaching at an x-ray school in town. And immediately, again, I don't know this. I don't want to digress in too much storytelling, but Kimberly, all of our kids, we used to like to take on dates, especially when they were a little older, on birthday dates. And so Robin and I had taken Kimberly out on her birthday date, on her very last date we have with her. And we went to a movie and dinner, and I was on call, you know. Of course, I think we got through the movie, and we were out getting dessert, and the beeper goes off. So I had to go to the hospital. So we gathered up our ice cream and went to the hospital, and I think Robin and Kimberly entertained themselves by playing in wheelchairs or something, as I recall. I don't have some memory of that. But I came home, I said, okay, God, something has got to give. I am too busy. So, you know, after praying about it, I resigned the extra job and the extra teaching job. You know, I kept working with Papa and just, it's sometimes we have to just let our life circumstances speak to us. And that was a time when I said, okay, time to slow down. I don't have any regrets from those years because I think, you know, Carrie and Kelly might be able, and Breezy might be able to disagree, but you know, I think I managed to be a decent dad through those years. And but at the same time, you know, I start to think, if I was just a little bit more focused on the things that were really important, maybe I would have been even better. Anyway, side story and rabbit trail. But again, walking through those valleys again is so much. I don't know what the word is. It's all consuming. That if you don't have family and loved ones to carry you through, it's just an empty time. So, one of my sort of life verses. I've talked about it before. Probably will talk about it in the future. But Psalm 23. Is probably just one of the hallmark verses or passages of Scripture that talk about this subject. And I wanted to just kind of go through a little bit. The notes in the Voice version read this way. I wanted to read these notes real quick. It's just a paragraph or so. It says, Psalm 23 is the best known and most beloved psalm in the collection. Surprisingly, it casts humanity as sheep, stupid, helpless sheep. But the long-lasting appeal of it is a direct result of that casting, because of the imagery is both soothing and accessible. When he was a boy, King David was a shepherd watching his father's flocks in the hills around Bethlehem. In those days, it was common to refer also to the kings in the Near East as shepherds, but not all shepherd kings cared for their sheep. Though David tried to shepherd his people well, he knew the truth that the Eternal One, Jesus, is the true shepherd. Jesus makes a bold claim. He declares that he is the good shepherd. Immediately, his disciples detected the resonance of the words. Those of us who follow Jesus today come to know him as that gentle but strong shepherd who guides us through life if we will follow him. So I'm going to read, we'll go kind of a couple verses at a time going through Psalm 23. And again, this is the Voice version, so it'll read just a little differently than you probably remember hearing it. The Eternal is my shepherd. He cares for me always. He provides me rest in rich green fields. Beside streams of refreshing water, he soothes my fears. He makes me whole again, steering me off worn hard paths to roads where truth and righteousness echo his name. again, if I could just about rewrite that and make that, you know, our vision for Hope Living Church, we want this to be a place where you will experience Jesus, the shepherd, and providing that restful, refreshing, rich place to come and just be in his presence and enjoy his presence and worship with other believers and walk with him and just let him, you know, soothe the bumps. That's what shepherds did, right? They took care of their sheep, so when the sheep stumbled and scratched their legs and got burrs in their hoofs or whatever happened, that was the shepherd's job, was to take care of the sheep. So I just see that as a place. This is a place for Jesus to do that with us. The next slide. Even in the unending shadows of death's darkness, I am not overcome by fear, because you are with me in those dark moments, near with your protection and guidance. I am comforted. And I am here, you know, today, 15 years in, to tell you that God is here to comfort you. And when you are walking through one now, or the ones that you will be walking through, because really, that's really, there's only two seasons that we're in life, I believe, what I referred to earlier, when you're walking in pain and walking in sorrow, or when you're helping somebody else to walk through their season of sorrow and pain. So it's a challenge, really, I think, for us to walk with the Spirit and to be sensitive to those around us walking in need and being Jesus' hands and being the shepherd's, you know, staff if we have to, or being his rod sometimes. Next slide. You spread out a table before me, provisions in the midst of attack for my enemies. You care for all my needs, anointing my head with soothing, fragrant oil, filling my cup again and again with your grace. You know, it's easy to read the, you know, attacks from enemies and think, well, I don't have a whole lot of enemies, but there is the enemy who's always out seeking to destroy, so there's that piece. And also, our enemy sometimes can even come from within ourselves. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy. You know, the things that we've allowed in our life to creep in and grow and take root, things that can pull away and distract from God. So again, the enemies can come from all sides, but he prepares the provision for us, it says right here, provision in the midst of those attacks. So when when the enemy is attacking, God is there providing for our every need. That soothing, fragrant oil, filling our cup again and again with his grace. And then the next slide. Certainly your faithful protection and loving provision will pursue me where I go, always, everywhere. I will always be with the Eternal in your house forever. Notice, I think it's really important to notice that David doesn't appeal to the temple for his comfort. David doesn't appeal to even to his religious practices, which were very important to him. He appealed directly to his relationship with the shepherd. And that's so, so valuable, so important, so key to what will get us through. We sometimes, maybe not so much in our generation, but I think in generations gone by, we could kind of, well, I'm a pick your brand, you know. You know, I was even recalling with somebody the other day when I was a little boy, I was raised Catholic, and there was a little family that lived in the neighborhood who had a Baptist church, a little neighborhood church that was just around the corner. And, you know, I remember the little girl that was about my age, are you saved? You know, well, of course I'm saved. I'm a Catholic, you know. We tend to kind of stand on our religion, and it's not, I think we all know that. I'm not speaking, kind of preaching to the choir, but we all know that it's not about, you know, the brand that you call yourself. It's not even about the tenets or doctrines of the church that you go to. That's not going to carry you through tragedy. What's going to carry you through is that relationship with God. And I will say also that relationship with his people. Quite probably that's why Jesus said those are the two most important commandments, right? What's the most important commandment? To love your God with your whole heart and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. When you love God and love others, your needs will be provided. God will allow that, those two relationships, to carry you through the darkest of times. I was struck by, also in preparation this week, Jesus' connection with Lazarus. And I wanted to mention that. I didn't pull up scriptures, but I just wanted to mention the story because it's very familiar, I think, to most of us. You know, here's the picture. Jesus standing at the tomb of Lazarus and weeping, you know? And I thought, wow, here is, you know, Jesus, God in human form, you know, all the power of God residing within him, and he's standing at the tomb of his friend crying. I thought, wow, you know, he knew fully well what he was going to do. He knew that just in minutes he was going to call Lazarus out. So why was Jesus crying? I know many have speculated, why did Jesus weep at Lazarus' tomb? And you know what I think? I think he was weeping over death and how absurd death is. We weren't created to die. God did not design that for his children. Adam wasn't created to die. Adam was created to live forever. And Eve was created to live forever in the garden. Jesus was there, and he saw what sin did to us. Sin created death, right? I mean, I don't know all the scriptures, but sin was the gateway to death for people. And Jesus wasn't, I don't think, so much weeping for Lazarus. He was just weeping over just the plight of man, the grief of death, and having to see, he looked around, he saw Mary and Martha, who were also his friends, and watching the tears that were rolling down their cheeks. And Jesus, where were you? He wouldn't have died if you were here. You know, it was just that scene of death, I think, that overwhelmed him and caught him up and caused him to weep. But praise God, you know, there's victory over death. That's the power of Jesus. That's the power of our faith. That's what we offer that the world cannot give you, is that knowing that there is something greater than the grave, that there is victory over death. So, I came all that long way around to get, just we'll wrap up shortly here, but to talk about love. And so that was our theme tonight, was talking about love. And what better verses to talk about love? I don't think there are any better ones than to speak about what Jesus commanded us. I mentioned them earlier, so I'm going to repeat myself. But the next slide is going to have John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Again, I don't think the world really comprehends true love, because the world wants to love on its own terms. The world loves as long as it gets something back. The world loves the king. The world loves the star riding high on their Oscar presentations. The world loves a winner, right? But not everybody gets to experience a life of win, 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 win. You know, there's those valleys that we were talking about, those moments when we're needing each other, those moments when love is so, so, so important. And so I just think that's what drives people into the arms of pain, of, you know, through pain, drives them into the arms of other solutions, looking for that acceptance and that love that they can't find. They look for it in all the wrong places, like the country song said. But we know that there is love to be found here with you. These people are the extension of God's love. And God uses, God loves me through you. And God loves you through me.
Yes.
And when we allow that to happen fully, when we allow that fellowship of the saints to happen, that's heaven on earth.
Yes.
That's as close as you're going to get to the experience Jesus intended in these words.
Yes.
John 15:12-13, again, kind of same long speech, but a chapter or so later, Jesus is summarizing. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends.
Yeah.
What does that look like? What does that feel like? Laying down your life for your friends. Jesus gave the ultimate example. He's not calling us to be crucified for our friends. He did that, thank him, you know, once and for all. But he did call us to lay down our lives for our friends. And then, of course, you know, I had a funny thing happen, one of those Facebook things. A Christian friend who's actually a pastor posted something to me that was kind of absurd. He said, you know, you really can't love people that you don't know.
What?
Yeah. He said that, and I, excuse me, pardon me. Said, no, I don't think you can truly love people that you don't know. Because love requires a relationship. So the point he was trying to make, I said, wow, you know, Jesus loved me before I knew him. I mean, he knew me. But I didn't know him. You know, that was a stranger relationship. And he calls us to serve. He calls us to love unconditionally across all borders and boundaries, to love the unlovable.
Yeah.
And he's, Jesus himself said it, right? He was speaking to one of the Pharisees. Well, who's my neighbor? He asked Jesus, well, what's the most important? And, you know, love God with your whole heart, love your neighbor as yourself. And then, well, who is my neighbor? Jesus said, let me tell you a story. And he told the story of the Good Samaritan, right? What's the story of the Good Samaritan? Guy gets beat up. A guy from another country would be sort of equivalent to, I don't know, we don't really have any great equivalents, but I don't really understand politics. But maybe it's, you know, a Russian is in the ditch and a Ukrainian's walking by, right? I don't know if politically, you know, or maybe a Palestinian is in a ditch and a Jew is walking by. That's the picture. People who really, really don't like each other. Not only are they not friends, not only not acquaintances, you know, they're quite literally enemies. And this guy's walking by, and the priests walk by, and, you know, religious leaders and other upstanding citizens walk by this man in the ditch. The guy who stops over is, you know, their sworn enemy, stops, pulls him over, bandages his wounds, and carries him to safety and pays for his upkeep. So that was the example Jesus gave of how do you lay down a life for a neighbor, a friend. How do you sacrifice? By going way above and beyond. We don't really understand that quite yet, and I don't sit in front of you as the shining example, but I'll tell you what, I really want hope through me and through you and through each one of us to be a church that's known for that,
yeah.
Laying down our lives for people, putting ourselves out there for people. I believe, I think this is on one of the slides, it's a Mike Kinney quote. You're free to quote me if you like. I believe that we are at our Jesus-following best when we love and serve, especially out of our own pain and our own needs.
Amen.
I can tell you this from those 15 years, that the times, when, especially when you're early in the real deep sorrow, the real grief, pain, the times that bring you out of it are when you believe and know that you can bless somebody else. I know Robin can tell you that. Those were her darkest days, for sure, were the weeks and months following Kim's passing. And I can tell you this also, what snapped her out of it was she was doing yard duty here at the school and coaching volleyball and those things that when you see these other little needy lives and they would run up to her, and I know God did it, but they would run up to her and throw their arms around her leg and call her mommy. Wow. You know, God just knew that mommy's heart needed a little something extra, and he provided, but he provided it to her while she was serving, while she was being out in the community and helping people. And there's many other stories. But anyway, that's just, I think, the bottom line of the bottom line. Jesus commands us to love one another as he loved us, which was unconditionally, completely, expecting nothing in return, but knowing, you can say I don't expect anything in return, but God isn't going to allow you to be in his debt. When you give that way, he's going to bless your socks off. He's going to bless you beyond anything that you can possibly imagine. Bottom line, you know, we're going to experience life together, you know, or we're going to experience it alone. Let's experience this life together. Let's do this life together here at Hope. You know, that life is hard. Life is hard. You know, I mean, even when it's going relatively well, it's hard. You know, I mean, that's kind of the curse, right? The curse of Adam, you know, that we were going to have to toil and sweat to earn a living, and we were going to have to experience sickness and death, pain and childbirth for women. I mean, all those things are products of the fall. But God, you know, in his wisdom, provided a way through it. And that's as we walk together through the valleys. That's kind of the whole theme. I think that's how I'm here. That's how you're going to get through when the next valley is up in your life. I know Rick and Kelly could speak to that too. Maybe he will next week. Who knows? One thing that came to me, we're going to come to a close here. One thing I would like us to do as a group at Hope, I chatted with a couple people about this. I really want us to do a little bit more off-church fellowshipping together. I'd like to see us do more just barbecuing or, you know, potlucking. Getting together with people and just breaking bread and enjoying each other's company. So I would like to have our activities director and so forth, kind of work on that for us. Look, let's put one on the calendar, Robin. Let's put a date on the calendar where we can all get together and share a meal. It could be down at Hardy Park. The one thing I probably would ask for input, maybe even write it down or email me or something, is days. You know, I thought maybe we could do meals like that together where we get together just before church. We could do like noon gathering, have lunch at the park. Or we could do it on an off day, like a Wednesday, or maybe not Wednesday because youth meets. Maybe a Tuesday or Thursday night. Just get together and have like just a fellowship dinner. I would like to do communion. I think communion is even more touching and blessing when we just do it together over a meal, like Jesus and the disciples did, right? They did it over a meal. Amen. So the band's up here. Let's enjoy another worship song together. Let's really worship the Lord with all our hearts together.
Thanks, Mike.
That's great. Hey, Mike, I really like that that word. I've never heard anything like that about how that word meant to die, and how Jesus may have been rewarding that. I've never heard anything like that. That was outstanding. I'm going to have to be really processing that, because there's just a lot there. Thank you for that, for your time and heart that went into that. I appreciate it so much. Okay. Guys, let's all stand and let's worship this one time and close and go home with this.
Before you are good, before you are good, before you are good to me, before you are good, before you are good, before you are good to me, before you are good, before you are good, before you are good to me, before you are good, before you are good, before you are good to me. I cry out, sing it.
Earlier, beginning of the message, and it was a quote from that guy Mike Kinney again. That I didn't mention, but I want to highlight it. This was from the message that I spoke about 2 weeks after Kimberly passed away, and that was one of my lines from that message was, you have to get past what you know to get to what you believe. And I think that's just, I think it's significant. I just think that God wants us to know Him in our experience, to know Him in our heart, and He's going to bypass everything that you know. It's going to transcend everything that you know. So anyway, let's pray together. I want to pray the blessing that I always pray. And just, I know that it's powerful because it's God's word. So let's just pray. Just hold out your hands and receive this blessing. I pray that our God, who calls you and gives you perseverance and encouragement, will join all of us together to share one mind according to Jesus, the anointed one. I pray that God, the source of all hope, will infuse your lives with an abundance of joy and peace in the midst of your faith so that your hope will overflow the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that God of all peace will be with you all. Amen. So please stay and visit, hang out, love each other, hang out with each other, and bless each other. Amen. Amen.
But it's funny, I got to drop this thing.